what the ministry is, and so we're thankful for them. And so let me just pray, and then I will turn it over and let Pete, and then when he's done, we will have our prayer time like normal. So, and I think he's going to probably have a Q&A, so if there's time. So let's pray, and then I'll turn it over. Father in heaven, we come before you again this day in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for our salvation in him. We thank you, Lord, that we have the hope of eternal life. And we're thankful that you have called us, Lord, to be a light to the world, a light around us, by proclaiming the truth and showing forth the truth and the love and the holiness and the purity of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Pete and Kat and for their faithfulness in serving at Caring for Life these years. Lord, we thank you for them and for their family and pray that you would bless them. And also we pray for Caring for Life that you would guide that ministry. And we thank you for the way that you've used it to bring people to the knowledge of Christ and to show the love of Christ. And I pray that you bless our time even this evening as we Pete shares with us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dean. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Thank you for having me here tonight. As Dean said, my name is Peter Washburn. I was here at GCNO. Mom, do you remember what year we started coming here? I'll put you on the spot. It was a while ago. But I left for England in 2008. 2001? No. Surely 08. Been there 17 years now. 2001 when I started coming here, yeah. So I then left for England in 2008. And that story is really providential and definitely seeing God's guidance within it. So I went to Lorain County Community College. I had graduated with a business degree. I was interested in catering, and I had no idea basically once I graduated what I was going to be doing. So that summer I spent in limbo trying to figure out where I would be and where the Lord wanted me. And thankfully, Mr. Ron Pierre was receiving the monthly bulletins from the charity Caring for Life over in England. And he called me one day and said, Pete, I think I've got something that you should have a look at. And so I went over and he showed me the bulletin. He showed me what Caring for Life was about a bit. And something in me told me really just, I think this is pretty great. It's just something I'd be really interested in. And I applied and amazingly, they invited me over. Which was incredible because, you know, I didn't think anything like that would really happen. So I left in September that year. I flew on September 11th to my mother's demise. She was very scared for me that day. But yes, I was able to go over and I volunteered for a year for what's called a Time for Jesus year, which is TFJ. You know Becca Ellis probably. She's done the same thing recently. And I volunteered for a year and after that year, I was able to stay on as a staff member, and I'm very fortunate that I was able to obtain the visas and everything to stay. So I'm a permanent resident right now, not a citizen of the UK, and it really is by the Lord's providence and guidance that I was there at the right time to do so, with the right people to help me to do so. So I'm very thankful for that. So that's a bit about me. I'd love to share with you about what I've done there now, which is when I went, like I said, I had a bit of an interest in catering. I had a bit of a business degree. I really didn't know what I was going to do. And so what they were looking for at the time was volunteers to come for a year, but also specifically to work in their small cafe that they had opened at the time. So I went for that year and I worked solely in the cafe, basically. Running that as a chef and just running other little bits of it and everything. And that's what I went back to work in as well. And thankfully, the Lord provided for them. They refurbished a 16th century barn. So, yes, we are talking very historical here. They refurbished that into an 80-seat restaurant and farm shop. And since then, we've restored where I used to be for a takeaway, for coffee and everything. And also, there's a garden center as well now. So, you know, the Lord's provision is everywhere at Caring for Life for what we have there and how we were able to use it. So it's amazing to see my past history. I've worked at greenhouses, I've worked in kitchens, I've worked in retail, and all of those things now have come together into what I'm able to serve the Lord in what I'm doing. And where he put me is amazing. It is incredible to see his guidance. So now I'm the operations manager in Unlimited, so I'm kind of in charge of all those bits, but I get to work with some of our beneficiaries, but mainly I get to share what Caring for Life is all about to a secular customer base in our community as well. And so I'm able to really share that quite explicitly in what's a very secular industry. And Caring for Life is a gospel-driven ministry, sharing the love of Jesus with those around us. And so that's really what I'm here to talk to you about, is what Caring for Life is. So if it's okay, I'd like to start with a video that we're going to play now, a shorter video, a bit about Caring for Life, and then I'll continue sharing with you.
That's not Caring for Life. Let me make sure the sound is good.
You press play.
So many struggling to cope and survive. So many living without any knowledge of a God who cares about them. They live without hope. Yet there is hope. Caring for Life is a ministry which aims to share the love of Jesus with those very people. And we're spurred on with the desire to introduce all of them to Christ through gospel-driven compassion. We offer very practical support through our many different projects, like housing support, benefits advice, mental health support, and through our daytime activities to help people find purpose and direction. We aim to care for the whole person, so as well as caring practically, we take every opportunity to share the gospel through our Bible studies, through the literature we produce, through conversations, and by introducing those in our care to local gospel churches. Our ultimate hope is for all those we support to come and love our Saviour, the one who is the only answer to their problem with sin, sadness, and the hopelessness that so many struggle with. This wonderful message of the gospel shared through this ministry has impacted thousands of lives. We have seen many come to know him as their Saviour and Lord, and are now living safely alongside God's people within his church. But now, today, there are still so many people living in absolute isolation and chaos. They are people who need this gospel ministry. They need Christ. But who will take that gospel to them? But by God's grace, Caring for Life will. We will be led by Jesus' words to care for the least of these brothers and sisters of life. Please, would you pray for this ministry? And if you're able, would you give financially? Finally, please come and connect with us. Sign up for the monthly bulletin and come and visit us to see what the Lord is doing here.
The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
Great. So, in a nutshell, that's what Caring for Life is. You know, Caring for Life shares the love of Jesus foremost in everything that we do. But first, we try to tackle physical and mental issues that people are struggling with. CFL was started in 1987, by two people, Peter Parkinson, who is a local pastor in Leeds, England, and Esther Smith, who was an attendee of that church and also ran a small children's home. They started the charity to try to help homeless and vulnerable men and women in their local church who were there at the time. They saw a need, and they tried to do something about it. And these people were on the margins of society. They had a history of abuse, any kind and most kinds, mental illness, and learning difficulties. Peter and Esther strove to share the grace and mercy that only comes through Jesus Christ and with them. And one of the passages that they were challenged by and we still use today is the one that you saw there, which is in Matthew, Gospel of Matthew 25. And I'd like to start, if that's all right, in verse 34. So 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And that's something we strive to do at Caring for Life. Something is our aim. The mission at Caring for Life has not changed since the beginning. And in every aspect and every day, we try to share the love of Jesus with those that we come in contact with. In the charity, we are there for our beneficiaries. Those are the people who use Caring for Life that we are there working for. And in the social enterprises, which is in our limited companies, we look to do the same for our customers. The charity does this in multiple ways. So in the video, it stated those ways. We run a men and a women's supported living home, each for eight different people. And then also our Being There team, who go out to the community, out to people to help them. Again, many of them in varying needs. We go out to the benefits in their home. Also through the daytime therapeutic projects that we run on the farm. So that's a great point to stop and tell you what the farm is. So often I say that, and I realize people don't know what that is at all. So the farm is quite a large area in North Leeds. So we're based in Leeds, England. That has nothing to do with London. We're nowhere near it. And many people think that's where we are, but no, we're way up north in North Leeds. And it's over 100 acres of farmland that we have. It's an old abbey run from Kirksville Abbey, and historically, it was a huge egg production farm, so there was a lot of hens there, and back in the day, that's what everyone was doing at Caring for Life, was taking care of hens and selling those eggs to basically Walmart, the English Walmart, Asda. And we've seen at the charity the different projects change throughout time, and right now, we've got so many different daytime projects. We have agriculture, horticulture, equestrian. We've got catering academy, design and media, poultry, equestrian, life skills. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. And all these are based on the farm, the different aspects of everyday life. And we use those projects to engage with our beneficiaries. These projects give them a sense of self-worth. They give them concentration, responsibility, and a sense of confidence in their lives as well. But for us, it gives us an opportunity to build a relationship with them that most likely they've never had in their lives. So we get to care for them, we get to love them, we get to know them, and we get to share the gospel with them, which is an incredible thing, and that is ultimately what we're there for, is to share the gospel with these men and women who get to come up. We also run Bible studies throughout the week. We take holiday trips throughout the year with different individuals. We also have a bit of a family sector, so usually single moms with kids that we take care of, and we have specific holidays for them as well. So each of these different areas look to first help and deal with an array of individuals and their practical needs whilst creating opportunities to share the gospel with them. Our base for all these is the farm, as I said. All the projects are here to give some daily purpose in people's lives and give them confidence and social skills, all while building relationships with some very damaged individuals. Now, I'd like to share with you one of the people that I've got to know quite well. When I first came over, I had a gentleman who was one of our beneficiaries who was quite young. He was just a little bit older than myself, and we worked together almost every day. I was in the very sweaty small kitchen, and he was there washing up with me the dishes every day. And this gentleman, although young and snappy, he was a bit arrogant and prideful, a great character to be with, to be honest. But he was also very lonely, very vulnerable, and he had been taken, you know, advantage of lots of times in his life. He didn't have a family that he got to grow up with. There were some foster families in his life, but he really struggled with loneliness. It's probably one of the biggest things. And so he used to go home at night, and all he craved was to be back at the farm. All he craved was social settings and to be with people, someone that he could call his friend and his family. And I remember one time he was just really struggling and really down with depression and all sorts going on. And eventually he came in to me and said, "You know what, Pete, it's okay, because I have the Lord as my friend." And he really meant it. He had a great relationship with the Lord, and he was his friend. That was incredible. And that really challenged me as a young man, that this man had an incredible faith that challenged me as someone who grew up in the church all the time. And I've seen it in practice now. And it's an encouragement to all of us. It's an encouragement to those who are in the ministry, who care for them, and it's an encouragement to those who get to support Caring for Life as well. As we go on, you know, the farm, the people, that story is just a small little personal bit to me, but those stories are repeated over and over and over again in Caring for Life. And it's an incredible thing. Through the years, our mission to share the love of Jesus has not changed, but the way we do that has. And like I said, we started off with thousands and thousands of chickens. Today, we have a greenhouse, we have horses, and everything changes, but the mission to share the love of Jesus hasn't. Our tagline is Caring for Life, and we truly mean it. Our goal through the projects and the beneficiaries is not to give individuals a certificate. It's not to give them a skill that they can go off into the world and just find a job. It's to build a lasting relationship with them, where quite often they've never had one. And if that's needed for an individual's full life, that will then be the case. If they're ready to set off in the world on their own, we are there to help them and for them to come back as well at any time. One of our recent care changes that we've had is how we will be helping in our men's home, specifically Tyndall House, and the aging individuals that are there, and they're in need of different care in a different setting. So our men's home, Tyndall House, has got four different levels. If you can imagine in England, nothing is big there. Everything is small, so it all goes up. So that house has got quite a few steps and stairs with a few rooms for them. And these gentlemen can no longer really walk up and down these stairs. They need quite individualized care. And also how we can be efficient in that care. So things are changing. And so we are looking at purchasing a block of flats that would be much more appropriate and efficient in how we care for them, for these tenants, but also in how we care for other people that will be coming up. So I brought to you today really what our current fundraiser is, and that's buying these flats here. So I brought a little illustration for you to have a look at if you want to pass it around. Basically, this is an area that is close to the farm that we're looking to purchase these flats, and it would be close access. It'd be the ability to care for them much more efficiently, It'd be the ability for them to be in an appropriate home as for their aging needs. Our ideal would be to build, you know, a huge plot of land and have everything close together. But in a place where land is definitely at a premium, that doesn't come easily. So this is what we're trying to fundraise for currently. We've got a match fund set up for that. So that means someone has graciously said, if you raise $300,000, I'll give you $300,000 to match it. So our goal is to raise $700,000 for these homes. So if you're able to, that would be an amazing thing to do. What I have brought for you to have a look at and to put in the back is basically some of our leaflets here. So I'll have these in the back afterwards for the service. On this is basically all the information, QR codes to go to our website, information about on there. If you would like to give, you can do so through the website in many different ways. You can click on the donation page. There is a specific thing for those giving from the USA with all the tax benefits. That's not my area, so please, if you have any questions, let me know. I'll put you in touch with the right person for that. But personally, and also from CFL, from Caring for Life, I'd like to say a big thank you to you. As a church, for your support, for myself, and for the charity, already through all of your donations, and for your prayers. Your prayers and your financial support mean so much to me, to us as a charity, and we always pray that the Lord blesses everything given to us there at the charity, but we also take our responsibility in doing so very seriously. And we handle what the Lord has graciously given through all of our supporters, hopefully wisely, and we pray for that every day. So thank you again for that. I encourage you, if you would like as an individual to know any more, to please sign up for our monthly prayer bulletin. So that can come via email, or if you'd like it delivered in the mail, we do that as well. That is one of the best ways for us to communicate to our supporters, for you guys to know what our needs are, for you to know what to be praying for, and to keep up to date with what we have. I see that you have a library of them in the back. Thank you for that. It's a great resource for us, and the Lord uses it. It brought myself there. It is a great way to inform people. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to let people know about what's going on, especially in the church. I only need to look at my beginning at CFL to know that it was the Lord who had Mr. Pierre show me that first bulletin, and it planted a seed in my heart. We thank you for sending Becca Ellis over as well to volunteer for a year. What a blessing she was, and that's incredible. So I've got one more. I've got one more video for you, but not quite yet. Caring for Life shares the love of Jesus foremost in everything they do. But first, we try to tackle. Excuse me, that is not the right one. Apologies. If you would like to donate, as I said, you can go on to our online. You'll see details about the match fund and everything that's going on. But please pray for us. That's what I want to get to. Sorry. Pray for us. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord lets us pray to him, that we can come to him. It is powerful and it is mighty. I encourage you to do so. And in your prayer times, if you can remember Caring for Life, we would appreciate it. If you can please pray specifically for the current match fund for housing and the changing needs of our aging beneficiaries. If you can please pray for the personal growth of the many believers in our care. Please pray for all the projects as they find unique opportunities to share the gospel with those in our care. If you can please pray for continued provision from the Lord, that we may continually seek him and his guidance in everything that we do. And please, would you give thanks with us for the wonderful and exemplary faith of those who have had the privilege, that we've had the privilege to care for. It's a privilege to work in the ministry for the Lord, and a privilege to do so in England at Caring for Life for me. It seems that the Lord has brought me to a place to use my gifts and past experiences to hopefully make a difference for him. So please pray for me and my family as we strive to do so. So I'd like to end with one more video, and then I'll take questions if anyone has any.
In 1987, Caring for Lives set out with two very distinct purposes. The first was an action to practically meet the needs of adults who had experienced homelessness, abuse, neglect, or may have been completely isolated or were struggling to survive. The second reason Caring for Life came into existence was to simply introduce people to a peace and a love that can only be truly experienced by knowing and loving Jesus, and to help people find Him as their personal friend and Savior. This short film is just a glimpse into the hearts of a few amazing people we have had the privilege of being able to help on that journey. And we pray you will be encouraged as you hear how our Heavenly Father has enabled them to be transformed into one of His children, and how they now have a peace and a hope that only Jesus can give.
Being an ambition made me feel happy. Made me feel I was part of a family. And then now I do feel like I'm part of a family.
Last night after Bible study, I suddenly felt like God had gone and it was all not real. But I asked God to show me He's there. God showed me that He's here and He heard and hears every one of my dear God prayers. I love God and I know He's listening and taking care of us. I'm going to keep praying. God loves us no matter what.
He gave me peace from my trouble.
I didn't think I'd have changed, I don't know. It's not like a change, money. It will talk to my mom and all that. So inside of me.
And I found Jesus, He was walking next to me. On a lonely path of my many destiny. He must have looked into my eyes, saw the tears and heard my cries.
It was God's reason. and that's what makes it feeling is it was taken away. It was telling us not to feel guilty. It but embrace and use you're embracing death. It's but is you embracing a new life as well. We thank the Lord for all these precious souls, souls who are now His children. We hope that you can see beyond the stuttering and the stammering and hear their hearts speak about their love for Jesus.
Well, I hope you can hear through my stuttering and stammering tonight and hear about what Caring for Life is. If you do want to know more, please let me know. I have brought some of our books. These are written by an author who supports us, and they are some incredible stories about what has happened at Caring for Life. Please take them home with you. All I ask is that you bring them back when you're done and share them within the church, basically. That would be great. We have a first one which details a lot of the beginning work of Caring for Life, The Deafening Sound of Silent Tears, and the follow-up, which is Drops into an Ocean. So if you'd like those, I'll have them at the back as well. But I think maybe just a few questions really quick. If anyone has any questions, I'll attempt to answer those for you. Please, yeah, in the back. Yeah, so those two homes, there's a men and women's home, like you said. They're not on the farm, actually. They're within the community. Those homes are set up to be a supported living situation. And when those beneficiaries come into the homes, it's their home, basically. And we're there to help them. Those homes are set up for life. So when they're let in, this is their home for life as long as they want to. People have come and gone from there, and there's a whole referral system in the background dealing with who would be appropriate. Quite often with those homes, it's based on need and the character of the person. Fitting these individuals together is not always easy. So really a lot of it is based on their characteristics and their specific needs at the time to come and go. A lot of the people in the homes have been there the longest between those two homes. Yeah.
So there's beneficiaries that live there and there's beneficiaries that just come to be part of it during the day?
Yeah, so there's the supported homes. Those are quite permanent, like I say. They come up to the projects every day throughout the week. And then, I mean, we're supporting anywhere between, I think, 150 and 200 people at any time. And so we may be going out into the community to see some of these people. Sometimes they are coming onto the daytime projects, and quite often there's a crossover between those. So sometimes it's only a one little part of our support base. So there's people that never come up to the farm, but we're going out to them. Sometimes it's both. We're going out to them. They're coming up for different time periods throughout the week to do so. They have either found us and done kind of a personal referral. Also, referrals come through the local council or the government. We have no funding from the government whatsoever. We did in the past, and hence the need for our social enterprises. I didn't mention that. That's the reason that I'm there working, is to make money for the charity. Is one of the biggest things. We have these social enterprises set up to do that because we have no government funding, but yet the government uses us. So they give us referrals, but because we're not funded by them, we kind of give their restrictions that we don't agree with a bit of a poo-poo, and we run it, you know, according to the Lord, is what we believe. Yeah. Yes, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Single guy, right?
Yes.
I'm sure you went there not knowing
Yeah, absolutely. What's the question? Sorry.
My question is, how did the Lord make it clear to you and direct you that this was his calling for you? Because we have a lot of young people who don't know from where you were and didn't know what the Lord had for their future. And how can you encourage them? What would you encourage them to do?
Absolutely. I got you. Boy, do I know. That summer, after graduating, I just sat there kind of looking at job applications, kind of going, I don't know. I don't know where the Lord wants me. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what I wanted at the time. And I'm a firm believer in the Lord opening doors where we need to go and following it through prayer, definitely. A prayerful life, asking, Lord, where do you want me? Where should I be? And trying to follow the doors that he opens. I think it's important to do so. Once there, realizing that calling was just, I think, really, again, through prayer and just through my readings, through everything that was going on, and really feeling a call in my heart to do so. And, bringing it again in prayer to the Lord and asking him to make it sure. I think the circumstances of where I was in my past and where I've eventually fit in, he has led me there, and I don't think anywhere else it would have happened like that. And so just the practicalities of seeing it where I am, I think, is a real blessing that I've been able to have, because not everyone has that. But I would encourage you to prayerfully seek the Lord in asking him for his guidance, opening doors quite clearly, or closing them as well, if need be. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell a little bit about what my sweet daughter-in-law does?
Yes. So Catherine came a year after me in the same scheme as a Time for Jesus volunteer at TFJ. I'd say your story is somewhat similar, a bit lost, not sure what I'm going to be doing, and found a calling there. I found her, she found me, things happened. But she works in the horticulture project and runs that, so basically that's everything growing in the background. It's tied in closely to our social enterprises, so there's a few greenhouse people in this audience tonight, but won't mean that much to you, but thousands and thousands of plugs coming in. It's a daunting thing with a team of yourself and a few of our beneficiaries. Running a lot of things like that. And again, finding those relationships with them and supporting them in everything that you're doing there. Yeah. Anything else at all? Yes. Is that through the government, I think is what you're referring to. We've lost our support from the government a fair few years ago. We have tried to practically step out in faith, realistically step out in faith with what we do always. As people, as staff members who work there, nothing is guaranteed. We are told there are months where we don't know. We'll see if you get a paycheck or not. But the Lord's hand is in everything. That continues to do so. And we have continued on since that funding has disappeared. The social enterprise has been a good part of it. That's something that we see that gives us a bit of steadiness. But it's through faithful giving by supporters that has seen us through the worst of the funding, to be honest. And we go to churches throughout the UK mainly, and there's large gifts that come in, there's all sorts that come in, but really it is the people that continually give the small amounts every month that actually are a huge part of how we keep running. And also their interest in us. We have supporters days every year, so we invite everyone in the country, anyone who can come, to come and look around at the farm, see what is going on, sharing with them in a very, physical way on the day and everything. Yeah.
Can
Can you share a little bit about the leadership, and again, how Peter started it in the first place, and how it's being run now, and who runs it?
Sure. So Peter and Esther both co-founded the charity. They had bought the farm themselves, and then they set it up as a charity. So it's a charitable trust. It's run by trustees. We have an exec committee, staff members running it. So right now we have 5 executive members. I can't remember how many trustees we have right now. So basically they're in charge of things. The exec are there every day running things. And then we have a senior management team with other staff members below that. Yeah. Scott. Absolutely. So we have a royal patron. Of course, there is still a royal family in England, and they one of their largest works is to support charitable trust. So Sophie, the Duchess of Edinburgh now, not the Countess of Wessex, is our patron. So she comes and visits us. Kat, do you know when she was last there? I think it was about 2 years ago that she was last there. I've been there for about 4 royal visits, I think. But she gives to her charitable trust. Also, her patronage is a great name for us in the UK to use. She also has quite a personal relationship with the Parkinson's and all the exec committee. She sets up dinners for us to network at. I think they've been down to the palace, other things. So it's a great resource for us. She is an incredible woman, actually. She would say she is a Christian. I think she cares for us quite a lot. Peter, before he passed away, had a great relationship with her. Jonathan continues to do so, and it's great to see her come. A funny story about that, she actually came on my second day there, and I was sitting in a chair completely jet-lagged, and she came and asked, "What do you do here?" And I just kind of went, "I didn't know about the royal family." She just goes, "I don't really know yet." And she came a year after that, and I was feeding her food, and I think she probably was very worried. But it's gone well. It's a wonderful thing to have her as our patron, actually. Yeah, she's a lovely woman. Thank you. Yeah?
Can you share a little bit about the church that's associated?
So there is no church association officially. I attend Grace Community Church, which is in the area, quite close. Me and Jonathan are elders of that church. We have a lot of the beneficiaries from Caring for Life who come. We use a lot of the same ideas that we use at Caring for Life at our church, which is to make accessible for everyone. It's important for us to have a warm invite for everyone at our church. But actually, we work closely with a lot of gospel, you know, sharing churches in Leeds to put people in a local church where they can go to easily. Travel here is very different than travel in the UK. 40 minutes away is a big trip. So, you know, you are trying to get them to somewhere close that will take care of them in their local church as well. Yeah. Absolutely. Anything else? Yes.
How many people live in the Leeds area generally? That area? And the second question is, I keep saying things about the migrations, things like that, immigrants. Has that changed anything about your ministry or challenges to it or benefits or things like that?
Sure. Leeds, I don't know if you have heard of it or not, or before Caring for Life or not, it's actually a very large city. I'm sorry, I can't tell you how big it is technically. It's one of the largest cities in England. It has a large area, so it's large in the area for the UK, and it's large in population. I'm pretty sure it's probably 4th or 5th largest city.
800,000 people.
800,000 people. Where does it stand in the city rankings of people population, Dan? What? 4th. 4th largest city. So it's in the north, so the south dominates everything with London, but in the north, Leeds is a very large city, has a large population to take care of. What's the second part of that question? Sorry.
Immigration.
Immigration and everything. Immigration, to be honest, we've seen a lot of immigration at our church, and dealing with that can be tricky. As far as immigration with us, we've seen refugees, but typically most of the people are citizens already that we're dealing with. It's the same issues everywhere. We are dealing with people facing questions and looking for answers in all sorts of religions, from just self-help and well-being to Islam, to other Christianity, other religions, everything. So the questions haven't changed, really. Probably the push from other areas has, if anything. It's a very big city. One of the biggest things that we have a problem with is safe housing. UK in general has a big push to basically create more homes for people because there are not enough homes for the people that are there, and that is due to immigration partially, but also the population. What we see when we support people is a complete inefficiency of actually housing people and creating a lot of situations of abuse and vulnerability. So in a huge high-rise, we see people who are exploited for money, for everything, and they don't go home because they are exploited there. They don't feel safe there. At the opposite end of the spectrum, we see the inefficiency of the council giving, you know, someone who doesn't need a three-bedroom flat or something. And so we are just trying to find the correct places for the correct people that is safe, and that is few and far between. It's one of the biggest challenges that Being There team has. Hope that answers that. Sorry. Yeah. Anything else at all? All right, Dean, I'll pass it over to you. Thank you, everyone, for letting me share with you today. Appreciate it.